courage through faith. Courage through faith as we are continue on in our great faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. And, you know, trust in faith takes trusting in God's Word completely. Trusting in God's Word completely. As we begin this brand new year, the first Sunday in 2019, just a challenge to us this year as we begin our first Sunday about our faith and how God strengthen our faith. Give us the courage that we need in our faith to do what? To live for the Lord more in 2019. To share His gospel more. To love people and love God more. How do we do those things in 2019? And hopefully we'll answer those questions in just a little bit. Let's take, I hope we all have our Word of God. If you don't have, there should be a pew Bible in front of you if you didn't bring it. Or you can pull it up. Just make sure Sari has a good connection. You don't have to have a connection for it. You can pull it up, your Bible electronically. I have no problem with that. Just have you have the Word of God so that when I call up on it, I stand up here and I preach it, you can see that I am preaching you from the Word of God. Do you understand how important that is? That is your place as a congregation to keep this person behind this pulpit preaching you the pure Word of God. Let's stand to our feet and let's read what Hebrews will be looking in chapter 11 again, just two verses, 30 and 31. The Word of God says this, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I pray, dear God, on this first Sunday in 2019 that you will just show us in our heart what it is you would have us to glean and learn from these blessed word. Thank you so much for the privilege of standing here and preaching it. Hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth in Christ's name and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. This great chapter, this as we are thinking about and we're facing, I love that we go back to Joshua, the time of the conquest, that we're thinking about this courage that it takes as we face a brand new year. Listen, it's going to take you courage to live for God in 2019. Can anybody say amen? You live in a world that is becoming more and more hostile to Christianity, more and more hostile to your beliefs. It's going to take courage to stand as far as these kids in school to stand on the principles of God. It's going to take courage for you guys that work out in the workforce to stand and live on the principles of God. It's going to take courage. And as we get into this many times, God has called us, listen, to live and act out. I want you to know that faith doesn't always look logical to the world. Can I get amen? Faith does not always look, when the world looks at it, they scratch their head and many times and say that that is foolish to believe that way. I want you to know when we get to this chapter, this part in Hebrews 11, that great chapter, or faith chapter of the Scripture, that it's talking about just two short verses with two examples that will be intertwined. You'll see that this morning. Intertwined 30 and 31, but different, but the same because of the courage of faith that we see that will come from these two verses. First, I want to talk about a place. Look at verse 30. A place. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. The place was Jericho. The story is recorded in Joshua chapter 5 and 6. Israel had crossed. Listen, they're finally, after 40 years of disobedience, marching around in the desert, they have finally crossed the flooded Jordan, and they're in the promised land. The Scripture says the manna had ceased. They're eating from the land. They're getting ready to start the conquest of the promised land. Get that picture in your mind. It'd be the opening shots of the campaign to conquer that promised land that God had given them. And guess what? Jericho was just up the road about 2 miles. About 2 miles lay Jericho. Walled, huge walled city. historians say that the walls were wide enough to ride two chariots upon. That's how big and wide and huge. Ominous. Think about what it looked like to the Israelites. And yet they knew they'd already crossed. The water had the Jordan's returned, so nowhere to retreat back to. All you can do is go forward, and here lies Jericho, this huge city. Now these guys been in the desert for 40 years. How in the world are they going to conquer this huge city? Great questions, isn't it? Great questions for us to ask. It takes courage in our faith to go forward, even when we don't understand. Can anybody say amen? What's the big deal? Huge city was the big deal. It's a fortress. These guys have been in the desert for 40 years. How are they going to conquer this huge fortress? And humanly speaking, Joshua, General Joshua, leader, Moses has died. Joshua's taken him, and he's the new leader now. He bears the burden of this, a human burden. Put yourself in his place. Going to conquer. Here's this walled city. He's the leader. You know what he does? Takes a little trip over to Jericho to spy things out. Joshua 5 really records it. His trek in the dark. He wants to check out the situation. He's trying to get in his mind of how is it that we're going to conquer. He needs to lay out, he feels like he needs to lay out the battle plans. How many know as a leader that's his place to lay out, how are we going to conquer? What are we going to do? He sets out in the night. He goes over to take an assessment of his enemy. I want you to see that and think about that. And the word in the Hebrew says he, as he was near Jericho. And that word, when you study it out, means he was almost to the place he could touch the wall. So think about, there it is. It's looming before him. He's probably thinking, he's trying to go over in his mind, how are we going to conquer it? What's the battle plans? And out of the corner of his eyes, he spies, he sees something in the dark. And in that darkness, he sees that it is a soldier in armor with his sword drawn. Now think about it. Fill his heart. You're out there and you're trying, all of a sudden, and in the dark, God didn't make us to see in the dark very well, did he? We adjust and we can see, but he didn't make us the predators to be out here at night, right? We don't see very good, but then your eyes focus, and there is a soldier with his gleaming, with his armor on and his sword drawn. What would you do? Heart pounding. Well, you see the leader. You know what he did? He goes forward. Boom, runs towards him. This is no wimpy leader, by the way. Joshua's not. Probably with his hand on his sword. And you know what? He goes forward and he says, who are you for? Are you for us or against us? Is what he says. Little did he know. I could feel his heart pounding. Little did he know this would be a spiritual encounter that would be a mile marker, a milestone that would help him the rest of his life, let alone the conquering of the promised land. Because the answer was neither. Neither was he saying, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Joshua went to spy out an enemy, to try to figure out how he was going to conquer this great city. And you know what he runs into? God. God's out there with him. God's out there with him. I love this because this soldier that had went running forward, whenever he hears it's God, the next thing we see, what's he doing? On his face worshiping. That's my kind of general right there. My kind of leader. And to Joshua, it says, the scripture said, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshiped and he said, what does my Lord say to his servant? Yes, he's general. But he's just the under general. The great general was there. And we see him before the Lord asking him, what is it that you have to say? I love what God says. You know what God says? The same thing that he said to his servant Moses when he encountered him there at that burning bush in the backside of Midian. Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. What made it so holy? God was there. God was there. And you know what? Joshua did what God told him to do. It was God, and he had come down to meet Joshua face to face. to arm him for the conquering of Jericho and the rest of the promised land. There would be no enemy too great. Come on. 2019, we do not hold. Listen, sitting right here, all of us is bearing a burden. All of us, there's something that weighs upon us. There's something that could be great, maybe some less than others, but there's burdens in our lives, hardships that we will face. Do you understand? 2019, we'll have hardships. But there's nothing too great that our God can't get us through. Can anybody say amen? He equips us and He prepares us, even for the unknown. See that in Joshua here. Paul said it best in Romans 8. God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? The world can rage, and it can stand against the things of Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? Question is, wasn't on what side that commander was on. It was whose side are you on, Joshua, okay? Because that's what really matters today, 2019. Whose side are we on? God be for us. Who can be against us? He gives Joshua the details on how to defeat Jericho. Not by military might, but by faith. Remember, first part of Hebrews chapter 11, first verse says what? Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He lays out a strategy. There's no way humanly possible that you can defeat a walled city. Do you hear me? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want you to know something. That night, we don't see Joshua saying, but how does that going to work? How's that going to do, do we? We don't see him questioning. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He just believed. Can one man's faith make a difference? Let me ask you that this morning. Can one man's faith make a difference? What he set out to do as the commander of the armies of God, as Israel's commander, he set out to get a strategy, and what he brings back home is a message from God Himself. Now listen, you've got a million Israelites plus back here, over 600,000 military men, ready to conquer, ready to go in, do what it is, and guess what? The commander brings back to him. I had a word from God. I had a word from God. It wasn't to build ladders. It wasn't to build mounds. It was just to march around the city. Courage through faith. It took courage for him not only to go out there to encounter God, but it took courage to believe. I want you to see that from this verse of 11, of chapter 11, 30 and 31, that we can see, especially 30, we see an extended option lesson through the nature of faith. What is that? I want us to see about the factors that we can carry into our faith in 2019. First and foremost is obedience. What is God calling you to do, church? Corporately, individually. We say, well, He's not calling me to do anything. You're not listening, man. If you're His child, He has a plan and a purpose for you. Do you understand? Obedience is the main factor here. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Everyone had to follow the instructions. What were those instructions? March around every day for 6 days. Take the ark. Take the priest out with a trumpet. March around the city. Listen, don't say a word. Now, I want you to understand, that was probably after the first day, after they started doing that. Can you imagine the heckling that was coming from that wall? Well, here we go. A fool's march again. What are you going to do? Are you scared? Think about it. You hear men, they're the same today as they was then. They're marching around this wall, probably being heckled every day. But listen, in obedience, they were doing what God had told them. You know what He said? He said, on the seventh day, though, you march around it seven times, and on that last time, you blow the shofar, the trumpet. And when the priest blows that trumpet, you shout. You know what he said? And the walls will fall down. I want you to understand, listen, walls don't fall down from shouts, unless you're God's people. It's just, it doesn't happen logically unless you're God's people. You can look, God can call you to do something in 2019, and it might look like the most foolish thing, but you follow God in obedience. You do what He says, and He can topple the walls. He's just looking for people to be obedient to Him. It takes courage to be obedient and have that faith in 2019. Look and learn from this. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. The evidence that they believed and that everybody believed was they did what God said. Hello? The evidence of you being God's children is that you believe and follow Him in obedience and what God says. What you live is what you believe. Can anybody say amen? Don't say it different, any different. That's the truth as simple as you can put it. If you believe it, you're going to live it out. We're circling the walls. And that last time, when that shofar, and think about that trumpet, what did that represent? What did the ark represent? They had heard that trumpet sound at Sinai, Lee, you remember? That trumpet would sound to the pool. Ah! They couldn't stand. It's God's presence. That Ark of the Covenant, God's with us. God be for us, who could be against us? That encounter with God by the wall. You say, how could they believe? Think about, listen, how could they not believe? They had just seen the Jordan roll up like a scroll, and they come across it in floodplain. God's with them. And when Joshua comes back, says, this is our plan, our military plan. I don't see anybody fighting against him. I just see him following God and what God says. Because obedience, but listen, a life of obedience many times seems absurd in this culture you live in today. It doesn't matter how absurd it seems to the world, you follow Christ. And you live a life of obedience to Him. Obedience indicates faith. What we do shows what we believe. And that's obedience. But the next thing is focus. Think about this. As they encircled for 7 days, their focus was on God. Not on the obstacle before them. It was on God and obedience, what He had called them to do. And so they're focusing on that thing. When the Ark of the Covenant, that shofar that represents Him, the spiritual realities would blow you away if we could pull the curtain back here today. It's not make-believe. It's not phony. It's not Hollywood. The reality is that there's wars that are going on, spiritual wars all around us, that God protects us. We're going to write a book at probably the times that He's delivered us. It shows us the time. The spiritual realities are unreal, but they're real. Their obedience was what God had told them. But their focus was on the God that was with them. You understand? You want obedience to live that, be lived out in your life? The obedience is what God tells you, but your focus should be on the God that's with you. If you have Christ as your personal Savior and you've received Him, He is with you wherever you go. Think about that. Some of you probably shouldn't be taking Him some of the places you might be going. He's there. Recognize if He's your Savior, He's there. And that was their reality. That was their focus. God is with us. Seventh day, seven times around, shout. Joshua said, for the Lord has given you the city. What happened? What happened? The walls collapsed. Hear that shofar. Hear the trumpet. Hear the shout. But also hear the thunder and the rumble of those walls collapsing. God, what God can do. Can you imagine them? Here they had marched around that city. They had shouted. And to see that thing go down. They had already seen it in their mind, by the way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They believed because they were obedient. Their focus was on God. And what did God do? He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He said, the walls will fall and you can go straight in there. And that's what they did. And they went to conquer the city. But that's a place, but don't miss a person. And they're interconnected. You're going to like this. Interconnected. What does it say? By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Well, you want to know how to go from a house of shame to the hall of fame? Do you this morning? Look at Rahab's life. From a house of shame to the hall of fame. What did she do? Well, it talks about Joshua chapter 2. As they came across to begin with, he sends out spies to go to Jericho before he made his trip. And so they probably tried to make themselves look like Amorites and Canaanites, tried to blend in. They're going to spy out the land. They knew if they got caught, they would be killed. They go in. Somebody recognizes them as Hebrews at the gate. I won't go there on the application of that. We should be recognized as Christians wherever we go, no matter how we might try to hide it. But we won't. That's a little weak application, but the truth. Listen. They go. Where are they going to go? Well, the first place that everybody probably went was Rahab's house. Why? They put people up. She was a harlot, so they had a place where strangers would stay. And so they go to her house. Somebody had recognized them, and so the city people had sent people over to Rahab's house to find out about these spies that had come. But you know what had happened? Oh, I guess that was just coincidence, by the way. See God's providence, please. They just happened to go to Rahab's house. Is that how we believe? God was working and had a master plan that's going to touch you this morning. Hold on. 2019 will make it real irrelevant before it's over. Because they go there, and you know what Rahab's already said? She knows it was Hebrews 2, and she said, listen, we've heard about your God. We've heard about, and he's the God of all heaven. He's the God of all earth. Look, she's already spoke the truth. She said, we heard about what you did in Egypt. We heard about what you did to the Amorites across the river. And you know what? We're all shaking in our boots. We're scared because of what you're going to do here. She hides those spies and she says, I'll hide you. Will you spare me? You know what? What a great exchange. And she hides those spies. Think about the courage it took for her through faith. She gets caught, they torture her as a traitor. She's turning against everything that she knew. Everybody, all her friends, everything else. She's turning to God over all that, my friends. It takes courage. It takes courage. If she gets caught, the spies gets caught, it's game over. But you know what? That was totally unexpected by those old spies, wasn't it? God was working and he had a plan. Her faith caused her to act. Her faith caused her to make a couple decisions. Listen, I want us to first look in her life as we're finishing up. Faith's work. And that's the end of 31. It says, she received the spies with peace. She would proclaim that the Israelite God was the God of heaven, the only true God. Fear had fell upon everyone. She'd let them know all that. The city comes looking for the spies. She's hit them. She's went against everything. She risked everything. She would have been killed. She had no knowledge. Listen, she hadn't been in the desert. She hadn't been to Sinai. She hadn't seen the miracles of God. She had is what had been revealed to her by the living God, that he was the true God. God's grace was working in her life. The scarlet cord, they said, hey, listen, when she turns them loose, she tells them to go out by the gate, and then the guys come and she sends them off another way, and she says, and they said, listen, here's the deal. When we come to conquer this city, you put the scarlet cord in the window. When we see that scarlet cord, we'll know that's yours, and everybody that's in that house, you and who all's in that house, will be delivered. We will not kill. Listen, about that. Think about when the death angel came at the Passover and the lamb's blood was put over each lintel, and it said, hey, when the death angel sees that blood over the door that will pass over, that scarlet cord would be a picture of that very same thing. And when we see that scarlet cord, the death angel will pass over. You don't have to worry. You'll be delivered. But she said, if you don't do these things, we'll be delivered from this agreement. You'll just hang the scarlet cord, judgment will pass. That was faith's work. But look at faith's reward. First part of 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Everybody in that city, every animal, everything that drawed a breath died that day. Except for Rahab and her family. Do you understand? God had told them to totally annihilate every living thing that was there was unto him. Except for Rahab. Not just her, but her household. Whoever was in her home would be spared. Her faith was based in the belief of the true God, and that reality caused her to stand alone. Think about that. Caused her to stand alone. And think about what a huge encouragement that she was to all the Israelites when them spies came back home and said, listen, let us tell you about this woman that we met and how she proclaimed about the true and living God and how she told us that everybody in that city was shaking at the thought of us coming. Listen, there ain't nothing that prepares a soldier more than to know your enemy is already afraid before you ever get there. What an awesome encouragement that she was. When the walls fell, she was spared. And you know what? Not only that, but she became a part of Israel, the covenant people. And by the way, she's a blessing to each and every one of us sitting right here in 2019. You say, how is that? Are you lost your marbles, Pastor Dave? No, let's just turn to the Word of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. 4 and 6. Matthew chapter 1, 4 and 6 as we're finishing up. And let's see what the Word of God says. Not what a preacher says, but what does the Word of God say here? Matthew 1, 4 and 6. And listen, it says, Ram begot Abinadab, and Abinadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, whose lineage would our Savior come from. Jesus Christ himself would come from the lineage, this line. From Rahab's blood run through Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that, the grace of that. Jesus was perfect, but there weren't any perfect people in his lineage. Praise God. This prostitute's blood ran through the veins of Jesus. Amazing grace. Think about that. Rahab was saved by faith just like us. Listen, God's not expecting perfection here today. You understand that? He's not expecting you to be perfect. He's just expecting you to trust in one it is. Do you hear me? But he does expect your faith to work. How's your faith working? First Sunday, 2019. Are we going to purpose in our heart? Because the Scripture says, really, that in Christ, we become children of God. Does that not always say it in Ephesians? It talks about us becoming God's children. So in a sense that through Christ, Rahab's blood runs through our veins too. Child of faith, as a child of belief, this is the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and gave his life on a cross for you and I, died, was buried, but on the third day arose. That's the gospel. That is the Word of God. And the only way that anybody, we talked talked about in our Sunday school class today. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody else comes to the Father except by me. There's only one way to God the Father, and that's through Jesus the Son. If we believe that, 2019, it takes courage to live that out in the world that God's called you to live it in today. It takes courage for you to step up, be the child that He's called you to do, called you to be. It takes courage to do the things He's called you to do. What has He called you to do? You're still scratching your head saying, I don't know. You best find out. Why? Because 2019, 6 days gone already, and I promise you, it's just a blink of an eye, it'll be 2020. God's called us right now to be obedient, a radical obedience, to fill out, look, to give out the great commandment, to love God and love others, to take His great commission out into the, not only in our communities, but around the world. To go ye therefore, making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to do all things I've given you. That's what He's called each and every one of us to do. Listen, 2019 should be a banner year, not only for this church, but every church, if God's people will live out what He's called us to do. It takes courage, though. He'll give you all that you need to live out what He's called you to do. Linda, come and play. Let's stand to our feet for our applications. Number one, how will you live your faith out 2019? How are you going to live your faith out? Number two, what is your plan to grow spiritually this year? What's your plan? You don't have a plan, you'll hit that. You heard me say you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. What's your plan to grow spiritually? Are you going to just go through the same, do the same old things? Listen, old Einstein, he said that was the definition of insanity. Doing the same things the same way, expecting different results. Even Albert got that right. Is that how we are spiritually? We're going to just keep doing the same things, expecting different results? Won't work. That's insanity. Number two, do you have the faith to stand even when it doesn't make sense? What's God saying to you? Bow your heads before the Lord. Speaking to somebody here today, 2019, do you know that you have Christ as your personal Savior? Has there ever been a time that you received that Christ, that you came to that place where you realized that you were a sinner? You were. I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. And I receive His forgiveness. I receive His punishment for my sin. I believe in that. I believe that He died. I believe He was buried. I believe He rose again on the third day, and that He is calling me right now to be His child. Scripture says all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anybody here lost needs Jesus? What a great way to start 2019. You come forward. Profess His name. What's God saying to you, though? What's He saying to you for 2019? Are you purposing in your heart to grow in grace and knowledge of Him? If you're not purposing, it's not going to be done. This altar's open. This time is for you. What's God saying to you? Come, give it to Him. Sing it. Jesus paid it all. Come on. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. What do you do? Wash it white as snow. Listen, any way I can help you. 11:06 today. It's this evening. Men will be having a Bible study. We're studying in Matthew. Looking forward to that. Getting you on there. The women are starting in Ruth. Ruth is one of those, you heard that, in Matthew 1:4-5. Another Moabitess that God used in His lineage of Christ. Wow. You ladies don't want to miss starting that study tonight. So any way I can help in 2019, we are a family. We are here to work and grow spiritually together. And I look forward to serving you.
God, I'm already listening. I want God to do something in my own life to draw me closer to Him. So that means radically dealing with sin and sinful nature in my own life. And so as your pastor, I want you to know, hey, we pastors are the same way. This is a man that's like anybody else. And we struggle and we have sin that we need to eradicate out of our own life. So I'm asking God to do that and working on that in my own life so that I can draw closer to Him. Lady closes in prayer. Yes. Basil Jones' sister, I didn't know that. Is that Boone family? Jefferson. At what time is her? Is it today or? Okay. Basil Jones' sister passed yesterday morning, and so keep them in your prayers, and we'll put your arrangement.